Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are in week two of our short, yet I believe very important sermon series called Breaking Bread. What we're doing is exploring how Jesus took something as ordinary and as simple as sharing a meal with others and actually used that as one of his primary ways he went about transforming lives and the world forever. Now, for those of you who were here last week, you'll remember that in walking through the story of Jesus eating with Levi the tax collector, we discovered that Jesus, by simply accepting an invitation to eat and hang out with some tax collectors and sinners, the dirtbags of that day, what he was doing is he is actually proclaiming to the world that God didn't just come for the righteous. God didn't just come for those who have it all figured out. No, God came into the world to chase after sinners and to call them to repentance. Or that for God, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. God will not only accept you for who you are, right where you are, but most importantly, you need to know that you are worthy enough to sit at God's table. Because everyone, and I mean absolutely everyone, is welcomed at the table of the Lord. Don't believe me? Go read the Gospels and see who Jesus ate with over and over again. Yes, did he eat with the Pharisees and those who were elite? Yes, he did that. But we also find him doing what he's not supposed to do by eating with the tax collectors and sinners, the scumbags of the world. And remember, in the ancient world, that is a proclamation that you are my equal. You are my people. But to take us even further into this topic, this morning what I would like to show you is how Jesus took the ancient Jewish Seder meal, a meal that Jews have been practicing for thousands of years to celebrate their Passover, and he transformed that into a meal that proclaims to the world who he is and what he came to accomplish. So to give you some background for this, you need to know that the Passover, the Jewish holiday, was this event that lasted for 7 days, where the Jewish people remembered and celebrated the amazing act that God did for them in setting them free from slavery in Egypt. Or think of the story of Moses here, because that's what the Exodus is all about. And one of the main ways they went about celebrating this incredible act was through the Seder meal. And the Seder meal was this very defined meal where they had different things that they would do throughout the meal to celebrate and remember that incredible event. And now, the reason you need to know this is because this is actually the setting of the Last Supper. This is actually the context where Jesus, right before he is sent to the cross, sits down with his disciples for one final meal. Or you need to realize that when Jesus sat down with his disciples, it wasn't just dinner and he turned it into communion. No, this was a sacred and holy meal that they had set down as Jewish people to celebrate. And yet what Jesus does with this meal is he goes off script. Or instead of following the accepted Jewish practice of how this meal was supposed to play out, Jesus takes a couple of these rituals as they kind of move along and gives them new meaning, which he does to help his disciples begin to see and understand what's about to happen to him on the very next day and what all of that means. Because at this point, these guys are clueless. Jesus has warned them 3 different times this is about to happen, and they still don't get it. So he reminds them again. Or Matthew tells the story in this way. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And what Jesus is doing here is he's taking the unleavened bread, the matzah, of this celebration, which was eaten by the Jewish people to remember that before they were set free, they had to make bread quickly so they'd be ready for the Exodus. And he gives it new meaning by saying, "This is my body broken for you." And of course, what Jesus is doing here is he's referring to the very next day when he is going to give his life, when he is going to have his body broken on the cross. And yet, to take you even further into the weeds, in another deeper sense, what Jesus is doing here is taking this symbol of bread, again, meant to remind the Jewish people of the Exodus event, And he's proclaiming to his disciples and eventually the world that through his broken body or through the cross, God is actually starting a new kind of exodus. Now, when you read the Gospel of Matthew closely, you will find that throughout the entire gospel, Jesus is portrayed as the new and improved Moses. And I know that doesn't sound like a big deal to you and I today, because Moses is less and Jesus is more. That's the way we were raised. But in the ancient Jewish world, Moses is the man. He's the one who did the law. He's the one who did all of that. And so Jesus is proclaiming here that he is the new and improved Moses. And what God is doing through the cross is a new kind of exodus. An exodus that's not just meant to set people free from their enemies. No, this exodus is about the salvation and the restoration of all things. Because once this event happens, nothing in the world will ever be the same again. And yet a little later on in the meal, as Jesus and his disciples work their way through the various other rituals of the Seder, we find that when it comes time to celebrate the third cup of the Seder, which is the cup of redemption, which is about how through the 10 plagues, God set his people free, Jesus, again, he goes off script and he does this. He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Or in the same way, Jesus transformed the meaning of the Seder bread. He takes the third cup, the cup of redemption, and transforms it as well, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And again, what Jesus is referring to here is what's going to happen to him on the very next day as he faces the horrors of being nailed to the cross and sheds his blood for the sake of the world. And yet, to get at the deeper meaning going on here, the connection that many haven't made, you need to understand that one of the main ways the Jewish people celebrated the Passover was by sacrificing and not only eating a lamb, but by using the blood of that lamb to put on their doorpost and the lintels as a reminder of how God protected his people from the final plague, the death of the firstborn. And so symbolically, when it comes to the meaning of Jesus' blood, in the same way the blood of the lamb protected the Jewish people from God's judgment in the final plague, the blood that Jesus shed is the blood that protects his followers, the world, from the judgment of the world. And yet to keep pushing, what Jesus is also proclaiming through this act is that, again, in a sense, he is the new and improved Moses. Or in the same way God used Moses to set his people free from Egypt, God is now using Jesus as his new leader to set the entire world free from sin and death, which he does by establishing a new covenant, a new deal between God and the entire world in his blood, which is all now based on his life, death, and resurrection. Jesus becomes the center of all this. And again, we miss the importance, the significance of this, because we aren't ancient Jewish people where Moses is the man, right? Jesus, in a sense, is taking his place as the central figure here, which is why he caused a lot of trouble. It's also why they end up killing him to a certain extent, right? I mean, what Jesus is doing here is absolutely revolutionary. Or maybe to get it in a deeper way, I want you to imagine someone showing up in the here and now trying to outdo Jesus or trying to be bigger than Jesus, because that's actually what's going on here, right? Moses is the man, and Jesus says, no, there is something bigger going on in the world, something that Moses came to prepare the way for. And yet now that you get a sense of all that happened on that night when Jesus sat down and ate a meal with his disciples, let me try to take all that complexity. I know it's a lot if you've never heard this before, and make it as simple as I can. So very simply put, what Jesus is doing in and through the Last Supper is he is taking the Seder meal meant to remind the Jewish people of what God did for them in Egypt and transforms that into a completely different meal intended to proclaim that what God is doing through the cross is like the Exodus, but infinitely bigger, because what God is doing through Jesus' death is he's starting a new kind of exodus, a new kind of revolution that's about God saving and redeeming all things. Or what Jesus is doing here, this is about the salvation of the world. Or this is about causing God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? Absolutely amazing. Or you guys know what I'm talking about here. Because when we look to the cross of Christ with eyes of faith, right? When we look to that horrible instrument of death that was meant to cause people to suffer and to suffocate and to be an example for everyone. We don't see that when we look at the cross. And what we see is a God who is so madly in love with each and every one of us that he was willing to give his life, his everything, to show us that love in a way that we can't deny. And also to make a way for all of us to come home. For all of us to live into a deep and abiding relationship with the creator of the universe, which we do through faith, who in turn will walk with us through every part of our life. We don't have to do any of this alone. Will walk with us through every part of this life, molding and shaping us into the people he created us to be. Which, notice, is a move that Jesus makes by simply sharing a meal or breaking bread with his disciples, right? When you think revolution, when you think world-changing events, you don't think about people sitting down to have a meal with one another. No, you think of crowds of people coming together, chanting, doing whatever they need to do. But here, Jesus takes something as simple as breaking bread, and he uses that symbolically to show the world what he's all about and what he is about to do. And yet, for Jesus, not only was this a meal that he used to help his disciples begin to understand what he was going to be facing on the cross, because at this point in the story, they clearly don't get it. The disciples don't get it until after the resurrection. They really have a hard time with this stuff. But it's also a meal that Jesus gave to us as his followers to partake in as a kind of symbolic reminder regarding what the cross means for us even today. Or as Paul, when he goes on to explain the communion, he says this, This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And what Paul is doing here, what Paul is pointing out, is just how important practicing this meal is for us even today. So we never forget the significance of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Or maybe to give you a different kind of way to think about this, a more modern way to think about it. I want you to think about why we take pictures, right? And we live in a world, back in the day, you took two or three pictures and you were done because you had to develop it and all that stuff. Today, we're just taking pictures like crazy, like it's no big deal. So why do we take pictures? Well, the reason we like to take pictures is because, in a sense, pictures have the ability to capture a moment in time that we don't want to forget. So that anytime we want to remember, anytime we want to go back to that event in our minds, all we have to do is pull out that picture and just begin to gaze at it. I think that's very similar to why Jesus calls us to practice this meal often. In that, just like a picture takes us back to a moment that we don't want to forget, what communion does for us on a regular basis is to help us to remember, and even more than that, experience the significance of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Or communion is that thing, that practice in our lives, that as we're going about our week, thinking about everything else, and let's just be honest, right? And I'm even a minister, and I'll admit this. As you're going about your life, doing the things that you need to do, we forget about our faith. We forget about who we are and whose we are because we're so caught up in everything else. And so what communion is, it's that moment that calls us back over and over again to focus in on what's most important, which is our relationship with God. And yet with all of that, we're still not done. We're still not done because not only is communion something that is supposed to remind us of who God is and what he has done for us, but communion also acts as a kind of weekly invitation for all of us, not just to remember, but to get up and act, right? To go make a difference. Because ultimately, what Jesus did for us on the cross was not the end of God's plan. That's not it. But it was actually the beginning of a movement where God is calling all of us to take everything that Jesus taught and did and to go out and live that and share that good news with the rest of the world. Or communion is also that place where we're called to be a part of something bigger than ourselves as the members of the body of Christ, or as the hands and feet and eyes and ears of Jesus on the ground, helping to do the work of God in the world right here and right now. Yeah, and again, Jesus did all of that by simply sharing a meal, breaking bread with his disciples. Or maybe think about it in this way. 2,000 years ago, 13 men gathered around this Seder meal and Jesus transforms it, right? So that's about 2,000 years ago. And then since then, billions of people every single week come back to this table over and over again to be reminded of who they are and whose they are. So if you're the kind of person who comes to this table, which we do every single week, and it's not meaningful to you, you don't get anything out of it, then you're missing the point. This is supposed to be central to who we are and what we have been called to do as followers of Christ. And so in turn, what I think all of that means for us is that through this simple act of you and I taking time to eat some bread and drink some grape juice once a week, it helps us to simply remember that we serve a God who loves us so much that he was willing to give his life, his everything, to not only save us, but to save the entire world, along with helping us not to forget that as a people who have been saved through the cross, as a people who are a part of the body of Christ, we are now the ones responsible, with God's help, to take this movement to the ends of the earth. Or in a sense, to be the kind of people who go out into the world devoted to bringing heaven to earth in all that we do, along with becoming the kind of people that when we're out in the world, we give an invitation to anybody and everyone that we come across to come and join us at this table. Right? Because again, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, you are welcome to this table, and God will accept you for who you are, but he will not leave you there. He will begin to transform you. So another part of what this table is all about is we are called to go out into the world and invite others to join us here so they too can find what we have found in Christ Jesus. So they too can have their lives transformed. Let us pray. Father, today help us to begin to see the bigger meaning, the deeper meaning that is going on as we come to this table weekly and partake in your supper. Help us to understand, Lord, that as we come, it acts kind of like a picture to remind us of what's most important in our lives. And even more than that, it is this invitation to go out into the world as your hands and feet and eyes and ears and to be your people living your will in the world, or to be the kind of people who truly are devoted to bringing heaven to earth in all that we do. Lord, we ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.